following statement, which is what I call a basic computation for CNN. Let n be an integer greater or equal to 1, and let m be strongly A1 invariant. In groups. Is it working? On the category of smooth variety in the Nisnevich topology. There's a light. And now, is it better? So now it works. Let phi be a morphism of sheaves of pointed sets. Then there exists a unique capital phi from the sheaf I defined yesterday. So, Milnerowit and Ramify Milnerowit K theory in weight n, 2m, such that the obvious triangle commutes. Is a canonical symbol map. So this means that this sheaf, which is also strongly a one-invariant sheaf of Abelian groups, is the universal target, the initial object in the category of morphism from GM / N to some strongly a one-invariant sheaf. And this is a justification of these sheaves. They are very natural. So just a word on the proof. So yesterday I just sketched the definition of this object. So why is it universal now? So proof, sketch proof. So first we observe that for any field F finite type separable over K, so by definition phi induce a map, pointed map from the set of units, pointed set of units here, smash n time by itself to m. So we may we have units there in the field. Let us define a symbol. I should write phi of ui and so on, but that should be quicker. Sorry, yeah. So the first thing to do is to check that this symbol satisfies the relation in Milnerowit K-theory. So first, one checks that this symbol in M of F satisfies the defining relations. So there is a little subtlety here. I define the algebra of Milnerowit K theory by denoters and relations. I didn't quite give a set of defining relations in a given degree, but basically you can reduce. You can find a formal one just from the one I gave yesterday. There is no tricky point here. You just take the ideal generated by the relations and you look at what it is in a given degree. Okay. So basically, it amounts to satisfy, to check all the potential relation satisfied by this symbol there. Okay. So basically, you have four types. So I will explain just the first two. The rest is quite easy. So the Steinberg relation, so write it this way, that should vanish if for some index I and j one has this relation. This comes from theorem due to O and Igor Krish. That the morphism with the closing notion from A1 minus 0 and 1 to, so this is a closing notion which maps to GM cross GM, which maps U here to the pair U1 minus U. So this, by composition, is a smash product here. Induces a morphism in the homotopy category from that space to that one. And after one suspension, one simple suspension, it is triggered. It's really homotopic to the point. So is trivial, and here you use A1 in line. Not true, of course, in the category of simplicial homotopy category of sheaves after one suspension, tying the simplicial suspension. But as far as computation on abelian sheaves, this suspension is no problem. So this relation is a formal consequence of that fact. So it means that any time you apply and you have something which is A1 invariant, you will have this kind of relation. And the idea of the proof, I will not give the detail. So the idea is quite simple and nice. So it takes so I want to represent GM cross GM in A2, so A1 cross A1. So you remove the union of these lines with U equals 0 here and D equals 0 here. So the complement of that diagram is GM cross GM. So this embedding corresponds to that line. This is A1 minus 0, 1 embedding into GM cross GM. Now, what is the smash product here? Maybe I should... So this is removed. Maybe I should draw this in another color. So to get the smash product, you have to... to collapse the wedge inside GM plus GM. So you draw the wedge, so the base point of GM is 1. 1, this is 1 cross GM, and the other one is there. So in this color, this is the wedge. Okay. Now the idea is that if you collapse it to a point, so imagine that you collapse this to a point, this line can be extended to A1, because you add filled the hole. Okay, so after collapsing, so in idea, after collapsing to a point, the morphism here extends A1. So the obstruction can disappear. So of course this is not quite a proof, this is just an idea, and this can be made quite precise. This is a starting point. Now I want to explain the second type of relation, which measures the defect of the symbol to be additive. So this relation of the type UV, so I should take a bunch of units here and observe that when I have here a product, there should be some relation. Okay, so I just concentrate on the case n equal 1, though, well, this is true also in the general case. So we want to prove something like that. So this must come from something. So, of course, we have to define what is eta acting on that object. And okay, so this will come from the following construction. So we consider the product morphism mu on GM. And then we take the associated morphism of sheaves of the free abelian sheaves of group generated on GM cos GM according to this one. And this is a pointed version, which means this is a morphism of pointed sheaves. And in taking the free sheaf of abelian group, I collapse the base point to zero. Okay, just so that what I will say is perfectly true. Now, so this product, so you have the, again, cofibration sequence, the weight inside the product, and the quotient is the smash product, smash GM. Then if you take the free pointed sheaf of a Abelian group over that, the claim is that this splits canonically. It's a canonical way to split this because this is just the direction. Because of this base point identification, so the shift of Abelian group is a direct sum. So to find a retraction here, we just observe that we may project to each factors, and we define one morphism to be the projection, so from that shift to Z of GM, to one projection, and then the inclusion on one factor, and using the other projection, and the inclusion on the other factor, it is clear that this is a retraction. This shift here, when you abelian, when you make it abelian, so we take the abelian shift generated by GM cos GM, splits canonically as a sum of two copies there and these extra guys. Now I claim that, so this is the definition of eta if you want. So this is G of nu. This is isomorphic to, sorry? Yeah, I said that. I didn't write it, but I said, yeah. I take the pointed version. If not, there would be a Z here and a Z here. Remove it. So this is a direct sum in a canonical way. And as such, Z of nu splits canonically as identity plus an extra morphism which is denoted by eta. So this is the definition of eta. So eta comes from that decomposition and the product. It's also related, as I told you, to the Hopf map from A to minus zero to P1. So I think I will maybe tomorrow explain a little bit when I will compute the pi 1 of P1. Okay, so now using this, you may let, and then maybe I need an extra notation. So for any sheaf M, this is a construction due to Voivodsky, we denote in minus 1 the sheaf of Abelian group to be the kernel of the evaluation at 1. Okay, and this correspondence is a sheaf. But actually, of course, the morphism induced by the projection splits this evaluation. So in fact, this sheaf, this formula, this fits canonically as the sum of m of x plus m minus 1 of x. Okay? This is functor splitting, and this is also a shift in x. So if you want this guy with some version of pointed GM loop split, okay, some functional object with base point. So if you have any m, you can define m minus 1, m minus 2, and so on. And clearly, eta acts on m minus 1, m minus 2, and so on. And then, so to check this kind of relation means to check them when eta acts. Okay, so it can reduce to this case. And using this formula now, so this definition, this formula becomes completely clear. Because, so in m minus 1 of f, so you have an action of eta this time. Composition by eta. Sorry, the other way. Okay, we'll define something like that. Okay, and I claim that from this definition, so what is the morphism u time V, it corresponds to the morphism of the base field to Gm, which we decompose as follows, and just go to Gm cross Gm by the two units. You want to give the two symbols, U and V, U there and V there, and then you compose with a product. Okay, but when you apply this to a sheaf of abelian groups, evaluation factor through the operation of taking the free sheaf of abelian groups. Okay, and then this guy will decompose. So here I take, well, this is of course the unpointed version for spec K. So the D parentheses of spec K plus, if you want. So we get this. But now, new decompose identity plus identity plus eta. And if you write exactly what it means, so it means identity, so prove that UV is really, so the identity on one factor is U plus V plus eta composed with UV. Okay? This is the origin of that formula, so it's also very natural. And in fact, the two other relations, 3 and 4, comes from the fact that mu is commutative. So the relation eta commute with, so if you remember, third relation, I wrote it equivalently in this way, where epsilon is this object, this unit, and I told you epsilon is also in so epsilon corresponds to the twisting map in the multiple category, so the one suspension. Okay, so now if you apply the fact that mu is commutative, you exactly get this formula. Okay, if you permute Gm and Gm, and you get the same. Okay, and so on. So this is basically the idea. So now, we are almost done. What remains, so we got natural, so the observation that small phi extends for any field there, small phi induces fact group homomorphism at this time. So now from the definition of that sheaf, we know that for an irreducible smooth variety, then this is inside the section on the field of functions of X, and is defined as a kernel. Okay. Remember. So, in other words, this guy is the intersection of, so this is canonical, but to identify this with kn minus 1 of the residue field, you need to choose a pi, a uniformizing element. So, we don't do this, so we can write this. This was the first idea of the lecture. We modify the sheaves as the intersection of the corresponding section of the local ring. Okay, so it's clear that to check that this capital phi induces comes from a morphism of sheaves, it is sufficient to check that this will map any of the local ring here, of the section of the local ring, to the corresponding object here. So we have this. For any discrete variation V on F, you want to check something like that. And the proof of this using is amounts to this time reproduce the proof in Bass state of the fact that so if you define the Milnor case theory for discrete variation ring as a kernel of the residue morphism Milnor case theory, which is a ring, a subring, and they prove that as a ring it is generated by the unit in degree 1. And in fact, you can completely adapt the proof in the Minor-Orbit K theory, and it is also true that Minor-Orbit K theory for discrete variation ring is generated as a ring by units. So which means that this group here is generated. So it's not at all by definition, a fact, elementary fact. So by symbols and by eta. So we have to add eta, where so in positive degree here. Well, in fact, we don't need eta. Well, strictly positive, but where the UIs are units in the local ring. And then this property becomes completely clear, because units in this local ring are just morphisms from spectrum this to GM slash n time. So, and you just compose with the small p in m, and this defines you something in the section of the local ring. So complete tautology. Once you know this, completely clear that this morphism will map this subset to this subset. Okay, and it's also clear that it will. So if the residue field is separable over K, it will. So you have the SV maps, the Minor-Orbit K theory of the residue field, and it's also clear using this fact, this composition, that this is the residue field that it will commute with the restriction maps. Okay, and using this fact, you deduce that capital phi comes from a unique morphism of shield from a rank time in orbit K theory to M. Okay, so this is basically quite elementary to prove. Okay, so this is a fundamental computation. So let me make the following remark. If you relax, remember that for M to be strongly A1 invariant, means that for any smooth variety X, the obvious map is bijection. So because M is abelian, it is in fact group isomorphism. Just for r equals 0 and 1. So for r equals 0, this means that m of x cross a1 is m of x, and there is an extra condition. And this extra condition is important. So here's an example. If you take the free, so I take this, it's an elementary exercise. If you take the free sheaf of abelian group with the pointed condition generated by GM or any of its smash product, then it is a1 invariant. Is as a shift. So this is the universal solution of a morphism from GM pointed to an A1 invariant shift. So it's completely different. The answer is completely different. Yeah. And so the universal solution, if you realize, if you only impose this condition for I equals 0, is this one. And in fact, this is also true. Okay. And the answer, if you add I equals 1, the answer is this one. Conjecturally, in fact, I think it's known that it's a little bit complicated. Okay, and this is not an isomorphism. You can see for n equal to 1. So you should observe that for n equals 0 here, the smash product of 0 terms is the point, and the free abelian shift is Z. So the solution is Z. There is no Minor-Orbit K theory. So this appears only when you smash by n bigger or equal to 1. Conjecturally, so I think it's known, in fact, over a field. In fact, this is a quotient. This is an epimorphism of shifts. It's not quite trivial. So it's clear for fields, if you take section of field, it's surjective, on local rings of dimension 1, so discrete variation is still true by Bass state, but it means that for any smooth local ring, in fact, it is an epimorphism in the Zariski topology. If you take any smooth local ring, then this guy, the unramified part, will be generated by units. So I think there has been some work by Maurice Katz on that. But the proof is right now really highly non-trivial. It uses, not sure it doesn't use algorithmic tree or something, so there is not completely sure of it. So he proved that for Milnor K theory. But basically, if you can reduce to this. Okay. So this is a very different stuff. And the last remark is, as we will see maybe today, if you impose this condition for all I, it's not more. So to impose it for I equal 1, so 0 and 1, is the same thing as to impose it for any I. Okay? This solution is the same. Sorry? What do you mean of the integer? It should be very small. Yeah, it's, for this could be, in fact, generated by just, 8 and minus 1, I don't know. Now the problem is that it is not quite, you could try to define it this way, yeah. I would guess it is generated by eta and Zmod 2, so it must be very small. No, because in negative degree you have the big group. Well, I never thought about this, but I mean you can. Yeah, it could be the same. Maybe the same. Yeah. Yeah. So it just maybe a direct sum of the Milnor K theory, and then the bit group in negative degree. Yeah, because I think in fact, it doesn't play any role. Okay. How to mix these quantizations and the A1 homotopy category to produce some quantizations. So through the Urevich theorem. In some sense, this is a computation of the reduced zero A1 OG group of sheaves of these zero dimensional spheres. What we have done. Okay, so this is a starting computation. Okay, like in topology, you compute reduced homology of S0 be equal to Z, and you can compute the homology of spheres. Here is one problem, as you will see. So it's quite easy to define A1 homology. So the one of the main difference right now, and nobody understands anything about this, is that there is no way to compute the homology of spheres. What we will do is just compute the first non-trivial one, and conjecturally they should vanish in index greater or equal to 2n, where n is the dimension of the sphere. But this is highly non-trivial. In fact, this is this implies this is a much stronger version of the vanishing conjecture of Bennington's wave. So this is a big problem. That in this sense, it's not clear that the homology should vanish after some dimension. This is a very complicated question. So I guess it must be true. So one day somebody will understand this. But for the moment, there is absolutely no answer. Even for this one. I mean, here. Okay, so first, how can we use what we have done to compute homotopy sheaves? Then, first theorem. So let X be a point space. Then, phi 1. Is strongly A1 invariant. So I will only give a few words about this. So idea is first to reduce to the case of an infinite field. In fact, you can prove that if this is defined as a finite field, to prove this. Follow from the fact that it is true over the function field one. say, of T. Okay? So a sheaf is strongly one invariant if it is strongly one invariant when you extend it to the function field in one variable. Okay? But I don't know, for instance, whether this is also unramified over a finite field. So the method of proof, so reduce. So this statement is true to k infinite. What we have more when k is infinite is that this sheaf is unramified, which is of the type of the previous section. Where in finite field, well, it should be true, but if you have what? Yeah, then this would follow, yeah, yeah. So I told you I heard, or I read somewhere that in fact we might be able to prove it, so we could completely simplify the my case of science. In that case, again, I gather lemma. So using the conical filtration in the scheme and associated spectroscopy exactly the same way, just looking at that in the low dimension, exactly it will give you what we need. So gather them up as conical spectroscopy, which is quite truncated here. So usually it's applied to a commodity series, so which maps schemes to cohomology, so graded abelian group, and you get a spectral sequence. So here you map X to the simplicial set, so you take phi gram displacement, A1 local phi gram displacement of X, and you map a smooth scheme U to its section as a simplicial set. So you apply the same techniques, but replacing a spectra or chain complex by a pointed space. So you care a little bit at the beginning, but it gives you exactly the answer. And this is the reason why we can only prove something for the pi 1. In some sense, we need a dimension below. Okay, so there is no way to prove anything right now for the pi 0. I don't know any proof. One gets that for any smooth, it's really bad. That this shift is in the right path. And this is known only for infinite field. Right now, okay. Now this is injective. Sorry. Pi one evaluated on U on the function field, and here we get this. And in fact, we may understand. So this set here are just homotopy classes, well, in some sense, of X modulo, I will not try to, we get this, just using exactly the same notations, okay, we get this exact sequence. So we get by Gabor-Lemma that this sheaf is unramified. So to prove it is strongly a one invariant, we can use our computation property. So, and we know that we have to check just the property. So to prove it is strongly a one invariant, only by the theorem I gave yesterday, to prove the property, so HI A1 U over U. Well, let me write this shift G. Okay. Is the same thing as HI U G. But in fact, for a few cases where U is local of dimension 1 and I 0 1, and in fact for F field, spectrum of the field, and for I equals 0. In fact, it's sufficient to prove this. I didn't. I said so. So for fields, you don't need, in fact, to check each one field. Yeah. No. Okay. Both. Both. Okay. Not trying to make it. So I just give the ID. Where does this property come from? From standard obstruction theory. So we use the crossing of tower. So PM point, so I will assume here that X is in fact 0 connected, and so B is the crossing of the tower. X assumed connected. That what? Local, you mean? A1 local?
No,
it's neighbor's local. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So in fact, I choose a model which is A1 fragment or A1 local, and then I take the simplicial Postnikov tower. Okay, so but I have to localize. So I may assume that it is local, and also that it is A1 connected, because you can check that the Phi1 is the same if you take the connected component of the baseline. And then you remember that, well, it's not difficult, that this is equivalent to the classifying space of BG. Okay, and you recall also how you build the next step. From topology, there is a K-invariant involving an MMFN space. So the fiber here is K by 2 A1. 2. And here there is a K-invariant by 2 A1X 3. And unfortunately, with a twist, because G acts on the pi 2 in general. So now I want to prove something concerning G, but for schemes here, which are A1 over U, for instance. What I want to prove, in fact, the difficult part is to check that H1 of A1 over U is trivial, because to say that it is invariant, it means that H1 of A1 over U is H1 of U, G, but U is local, so it is trivial. Okay. Yeah, because from what we've done yesterday, we know that H1 is the same in Zariski and in Nisnevich topology. It's always this game. Okay. So the point is that an element in H1 is a morphism from A1 over U to BG. This is exactly H1, A1, U over G. This is dimension less or equal to 2. And see the MMFN space in dimension 3. So this is trivial. What you have to check is that, in fact, the morphism there can be identified to a twisted cohomology of this scheme with value not in this sheaf, but in a twisted version. So you have a G torsor, you have a sheaf with a G action, so you can define a twisted version of that sheaf, which is still a sheaf of Abelian group there. And you are looking at H3 of that scheme. This value in this sheaf. So, but this scheme has dimension 2. So, Nisnevich dimension is bounded by full dimension. So, it is 0. So it means that you can lift. And again, you can lift this to X. So, you lift this to X. So, it's not clear that it's real. So, but this morphism is obtained by a reduction from a map to X. But now, X is A1 local. So, morphism from A1 plus U to X is the same thing as the morphism from U to X. And because U is local, it is trivial, because pi 0 is trivial. Okay, so this is the proof. This is the idea. Okay, so and it is exactly, I mean, so on one hand, for an unramified sheaf, this property for this dimension, local dimension 0 or 1, implied by Gabriel Lemma the fact that it is strongly A1 invariant. And this property is exactly the one you can prove the vanishing from topology. There is no way, if you assume this is dimension 2, for instance, because there is maybe some cohomology dimension, cohomology group dimension. So it's exactly, it seems to pass perfectly. Okay, so this is the idea I wanted to explain. As a consequence, we get that all the higher psi n's are also strongly a one invariant. That x orbit a1 local, then the loop, the simplicial loop space on x will still be a1 local, no worries, and then pi n of that guy will be pi n plus 1 of x. So if you know this for the pi 1 of this guy, you know it for pi 2, and so on by induction. A1 local. Okay, so if you know this for pi 1, you know this for this shift. Okay, so now we may start to study the relation between being strongly a one invariant and strictly a one invariant, and deal with the notion of homology, so the Hermitianization of all that, which I call the A1 derived category. In fact, definition shares the same definition as Vygotsky's category of motifs. And instead of using sheaves with transfer, you just use sheaves in the Nisnevich topology. So I just recall briefly what I mean by that. So let W be denoted by ab k the abelian category sheaves of abelian groups on smooth K in the Nisnevich topology. Now consider the Dirac category. All complexes. No. We have to take all complexes here. Dirac category, usual one. And then you A1 localize is denoted B A1 that category. So by which I mean that, so you write down exactly the same definition as in the simplicial case. So you say that a chain complex is A1 local if for any chain complex morphism from D star tensor G A1. So this is the unpointed. Okay. No, this is the pointed version. So A1 is pointed by zero, for instance. So we take the this is the pointed version. So this guy should be contractible. Is zero. So it is equivalent to say that morphisms from D star tensor Z bracket A1, so no relation with the base point, to C star should be the same thing as D star to C star. Okay. So in the Abelian category of sheaves, that sheaf splits as this one plus Z. Okay, so to say that this is an equivalent exactly means that C is zero. Okay, and then you define A1 quasi-isomorphism to be morphism from D to E, such that for any A1 local complex, this induces an isomorphism. Okay, and in fact, you may construct an Abelian version of the A1 localization functor, and do not complain. This will So I don't remember which one is the correct one. We'll define a full embedding again. Full embedding in the full subcategory whose objects are the A1 local complexes. There is no here. It's completely what? No. You're right. Sorry. No. In the underlying category. No. Here it means derived category. In the A1 derived category. Yeah. You have to care with the infinite stuff. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I mean, you can put a model category on the category of all chain complex and don't care. Okay. This one, the full subcategory consisting of complexes which are A1 local in this sense. Just the same theorem, and no, nothing. Once you have the correct model category structure, I mean, it's exactly the same proof. It works everywhere. Okay, there is no subtle theorem here. I mean, it's just once you know it somewhere. No, it's an abelian version of the localization functor. Okay. And the point that here you can use the abelian version of the one I described using the singular chain complex. But here the point is that to prove the theorem I will write now, you use in fact a more concrete description. And this comes from an idea of Voivodsky that he explained some time ago to prove some vanishing. And this can be reformulated this way. So the A1 localization functor of complexes can be done as follows. Because you can restate the fact of being A1 local as the fact that some function complex is trivial. It means that C star to the power Z of A1 is trivial. Okay, so we want to make this trivial. Of course, a derived function complex. So you can do it this way. Take. So if it is not trivial, okay, no problem, let's kill it. So you consider the evaluation at 1, so it is pointed by 0, you evaluate at 1, and you kill everything, except 1. Okay, and then you iterate. So it's different, but the fact that here there is no an is essential to prove the theorem I will prove right now. So keep this in mind, and you prove that the colimit is A1 local, and these are clearly A1 weak, A1 quasi-isomorphism here. So now here is a more technical theorem, and this uses also the fact that we are working over a field, and we will use the fact that A1 over a field has dimension 1. It's essential here. So here we are using really that A1 is an interval, right? So it's really something of dimension 1. The A1 localization functor here takes so how do we say minus 1 connected complexes. So it preserves the connectivity of complexes to so I'm using a differential of degree minus 1, like for singular chain complex. Okay, so minus 1 connecting it does no homology shift in negative degree. So if you take a complex with only homology shift in positive degree or 0, then the localization will have the same property. And it's not at all formal, because the problem is that when you iterate this, because of potential cohomology of A1, you may add something degree minus 1 from the beginning. So it's really a stable fact. At the end, yeah. So the idea is, I told you, it's coming from an idea of Voivodsky, his variant of that, but you can prove this. And this uses the fact that you work over a field very much. As a consequence, you may now following. Maybe for the time I can add a second part directly and then give you a discount. Second part, which is also using the explicit construction here. We have to think about the construction. What happens when you apply? So you are working the category of complexes and you want to deduce something and take Allen-McLane spaces associated to that. If zero connected, then the associated Allen-McLane space, the morphism, so this is a right adjoint, so remember you have spaces to chain complexes. The homology functor takes the free abelian from X and you take differential using the simplified structure. This has a right adjoint which is K. And this construction conveniently derived induces a pair of adjoint functor between the A1 homotopy categories and the A1 Dirac categories. So this would be the A1 chain complex. So it is the A1, I mean, naive version of the motif in some sense. So DM comes later. And this is the Allen-McLane space functor. And now I want to say something. No, it's really the analog of taking the chain, singular chain complex, so homotopy category of spaces to Dirac category of Abelian groups. Far from it, if you tensor with Q.
Yeah,
in some sense, yeah. In that case, yeah. But So the point that if you apply K, so we take an Allen-McLane space to this construction here, then this is an A1 equivalent. So this theorem is, so the second part is technical and really has to understand this. So you really have to understand that, well, the idea is that when you apply K to this, you get vibrations. Simplified vibrations in the homotopy category, and you have to understand what happens to the homology shields. As a consequence, you can get the following. Sorry?
Okay.
Yeah. So, the consequence of the first part, so we define for any space its A1 homology. Shift be the nth homology shift of its A1 chain complex. So this is the, you take the chain complex, you A1 localize it, and you take its nth homology shift. Okay, back in topology. But first, as a consequence of that, it was not trivial, and in fact, it's even false over a general base. So Ayubas produced a counterexample. But here, in the case of overfill, it works pretty well. The homology vanishes in negative degree. Okay, and this is a consequence of this. So it's not trivial. Yeah, it's a shift. Yeah, homology shift. Okay, so you deduce this. And another nice consequence of this first part is that consequence two is that for any chain complex. A1 local, each of its Posnikov truncation So we take the path, the canonical path in this chain complex, which induces an isomorphism in homology sheaves of a greater degree than n, and this is zero in dimension less than the homology sheaves are zero in dimension less than n minus 1. Okay, so it maps to C star, then each of these is A1 local. As well. And the proof is, so you assume that C is A1 local, you take naive truncation, you A1 localize, so by the theorem, it will have the same property, the same connectivity. So you A1 localize, this is A1 local, so it maps to this one, but by the theorem, it is still n connected, n minus 1 connected. So in fact, it maps back to the n connected part of C star. It maps to this one, back. So it means that this chain complex is a factor. And this one is A1 local, so it means that this one is A1 local. And in fact, equal to this one. So, consequence. And this means that there is a T structure on the Dirac category, A1 Dirac category, analogous to the homotopy T structure in motives. And as a consequence, each sheave, each A1, so each sheaves, homology sheaves of an A1 local complex is A1 local, considered as a complex. Because all the truncation, so all the fibers, so if you have this one here, and the cone of that will be that sheaf, let's see, yeah, in degree n minus 1. So if these two are A1 local, the third one is A1 local, but it is just a sheaf. But now, to say that the sheaf is A1 local is equivalent to say that it is strictly A1 divine. Okay? Because we work in the category of all complexes. So we get that in the Dirac category, if you A1 localize, what you get as A1 local objects are complexes, the characterization to be A1 local, whose homology sheaves are each strictly A1 invariant. All the homology is A1 invariant. Okay? So we get that the homology sheaves, A1 homology sheaves of any space, is strictly A1 invariant. So we still need something to prove the Ulrich theorem, because from what we have done, we know that homotopy sheaves of spaces are strongly A1 invariant. We only know something on H0 and H1. But we know that for the homology, we know from the beginning, by the definition, that they are in fact strictly A1 invariant. So that still needs something. I need two more minutes, and in fact, this will be a consequence of that fact here. M B the sheaf of admin groups, then M is strongly A1 invariant if and only if it's strictly A1 invariant. Okay, as I told you, from now we can suppress this and say ST invariant. Okay, because it's exactly the same property. So the proof is the following. Following this part two of the theorem implies that, so I take KM1 and I look at the map K of the A1 localization of M. So this is an A1 weak equivalence, and this guy is A1 local. So this is the A1 localization of that space. Okay? Okay. General fact. And you need really to start. So technically here it doesn't work if you start with something which has H0.
This is wrong.
So we can check in the proof that you really need to start with something based in
degree 1 and over.
And now, so this is the one localization. But now, to say that this space
is A1 local exactly means that it is strongly A1 invariant. BG is A1 local if and only if G is strongly A1 invariant. This is total G.
So M is strongly A1 invariant if and only if this is A1 local if and only if this is an isomorphism.
And as a consequence,
because we know that M will be an homology sheaf of an A1 local complex,
it will be strictly A1 invariant. So this is encoded in this theorem here.
And so I will explain tomorrow. So this is the still a bit technical part. And the Ullrich theorem now follows completely formally.
Once you know this, it's completely formal.
So tomorrow I will state the Ullrich theorem and produce some further computations,
okay, applications to Motopi theorem.